difference in the politics of 9/11, what's controversial and what's not. Our next session is devoted to one of those highly controversial issues over what happened at the World Trade Center. How was it done? We've been able to prove in spades that the government's account can't possibly be true, that it even violates laws of physics and of engineering, leading me to observe on many occasions that the government's account is just fine as long as you're willing to believe impossible things. Now, the presentation today will be in three parts with two speakers. Our first speaker will present the first and the third part, and our second speaker the second, by way of an interlude that complements issues being raised in the first part. The speaker to begin this afternoon's session has degrees in civil engineering with a focus in structural, in engineering mechanics, which is also known as applied physics, and a PhD in materials engineering science, which, as far as I have been able to discern, are the disciplines that are most directly relevant to evaluating what actually happened to the Twin Towers and at the World Trade Center in general. She's a former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University, who appears to have been denied tenure because of her involvement in 9/11 research. In my opinion, she is the single most qualified scientist to be studying these issues. Please join me in welcoming Judy Wood.
Well, hello, and thank you for coming. Thanks for being here. I should stand over here. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You've often heard 9/11 referred to as the new Pearl Harbor. So we can... Has that worked better? Well,
go for
maybe
it.
Can you switch positions at this point? Okay. And 9/11 has been referred to as the new Pearl Harbor, but I beg to differ on that. I don't think it's the new Pearl Harbor. It's the new Hiroshima. It's the new Hiroshima. Yeah, this terrorist group did that. In fact, that was... How about that everything? But what about the day before Hiroshima? Was anyone at Fox? That could have happened. Someone posted this message on a forum on the web, and I think it's just beautifully stated. We stand at the beginning of a new age. A government has in its hands a method of disrupting the molecular basis of matter, and its first impulse was to weaponize it. Is this so hard to understand? Like splitting atoms to create destruction was so hard to understand in 1946. Of course, this new invention came when the United States ruled supreme. A weapon system of vast new power comes online, and we don't have an enemy worthy of it. So naturally, we use it on ourselves. Wag the dog. Molecular dissociation. What I would like to do today is show you the evidence, the data, and let you make up your own mind. Let you think for yourself. And there's nothing more important in this day and age than each of us thinking for ourselves and making up our own minds, but looking at the data ourselves. So let's start at the beginning. Once upon a time, there were two towers. And we notice with these two towers, you have, just a minute, the mouse moves on the screen, yeah. And it was this tower three down here, which is 22 stories tall. This itty-bitty thing down here is building six, which is 8 stories tall. Then buildings 4 and 5 are 9 stories each. But these are huge buildings. The 47-story building 7. Huge buildings. Big, beefy core structures. beams in, comes on the outside with a force set between them. Very robust. So, if you have, if this is part of a tree, and you cut a hole in the side of the tree so the keeper elves can put their cookie of it in there, book, or live in there, do you think that would affect the structure? We see many trees with a hole in the side. The beauty of this design is that it just almost insignificantly would affect the strength. So there we have the towers, and then they went away. What happened? That's what we're here to figure out. In this picture on the left, we're looking at Building 7, so we know what day this picture was taken. Where did the tower go? The day before, if you took this picture, you would have a tower between the camera person and Building 7. Where'd it go? They told us that steel was shipped off to China. Well, this picture appears to have been taken before noon on 9/11. Just how fast could they ship it off to China? But let's think about what we're being told. And this is what it looked like a week or so later. This is a satellite image of Ground Zero. You notice Building 7, and Building 6 here with the cutouts in it. Cylindrical cutouts. They go all the way down to the ground floor, all about the same diameter, about 24 feet in diameter. And the thing that caught my attention the most is this hole over here on Liberty Street. Tower 2 used to be located here, and this banker's trust. That's Liberty Street that runs between the two. Why would there be a big hole in the middle of the street? And it looks like it could go down 60 feet, and it's empty. Where's the rest of the rubble? Oops. And just how fast did it disappear? I will not say collapse. Because there's evidence that not much of it hit the ground. If you dropped a billiard ball off the roof of one of the towers, it would take 9.22 seconds to hit the ground. The seismograph shows the ground rumbled for 8 seconds. You said we have a problem. But what about all the energy requirements? There's a lot of opposition to what I present, which is mainly data. But folks who oppose seeing the data or having anyone else see the data say, well, it's possible to have enough energy to do what you're saying that can. Well, then we should still see some buildings standing there. But the energy is an issue. There's different forms of energy. And if we look at the one, that doesn't work too well. The fourth picture is from the towers. This is a nuclear test. These other two are Mount St. Helens. What do we have in common with all of those pictures? Dust. Lots of dust and lots of power. A huge release of energy. So here we have the towers, and we're looking from the right-hand side. We're looking from over here at the towers. Here's the Bankers Trust building. We're just about eye level with Bankers Trust. And we're going to look straight across at that elevation, which is about the rooftop level of Bankers Trust, how far that is from the ground. And here's that image from that eye level. What is all this? That's about two-thirds of Tower 2. You believe me? We're missing two-thirds of Tower 2. It hasn't hit the ground yet. Bankers Trust is a 40-story building. This tower was 110 stories. Where did it go? That, I call this a snowball picture. That snowball cannot itself a two-thirds space. Okay. And then there's that elevation. So what about the seismograph? Well, there was a 2.4 magnitude earthquake earlier that same year in January, and this is what the chart looked like. But when the second tower, quote, collapsed, according to the USGS, this is the chart. A whole lot smaller. I don't know if it was filtering or what, but it's kind of unbelievable that you drop 210 storage buildings, 500,000 tons each, and it doesn't even make the same seismographic signal as a 2.4 earthquake earlier that year. We also have Building 7, which they said was a 0.6 on the Richter scale. You know what 6.6 on the Richter scale is equivalent to? A jackhammer. So, you know, a 47-story building disappears without, you know, making a tickling the ground more than a jackhammer would. It was a bit strange. And here's where our 2.3 magnitude is. The towers are 2.3 and 2.1 for the north and south towers. And that's just barely over the equivalent of a quarry blast. Does that make sense? And here's the bathtub, the wonderful bathtub that protected Lower Manhattan from being flooded. Now, the foundation was made for the towers. They poured concrete on the bedrock. So wouldn't that concrete be busted up if the rest of the concrete in the building busted up? Questions to ask.
I mean, obviously you looked at all of the seismic signals. The main focus of that was to establish the timing of the various events, and if any, again, using it also to see if there were any events that we could not explain other than it being the collapse of the towers and the World Trade Center 7. The signal trends due to the collapse of the towers were not of any magnitude that was seismically significant from an earthquake design standpoint or from the design or failure of a structural component or of, I would say, a piping system that might be used in a structure. So there wasn't anything that gave us pause in terms of that being a significant seismic event.
This is Sam Sunder of NIST telling us at this meeting in past December that there was no significant seismic impact on the ground when the towers went away that caused damage to surrounding structures. That was an amazing thing for him to have said. So no wonder why the bathtub wasn't disturbed. The bathtub did get damaged later. When they brought in those mega cranes, that's when the damage began to occur. So these various earth-moving equipment cranes that they brought in and two 500,000-ton buildings landing on them. And I think you're familiar with the design of the center. I think you saw this picture earlier. That the footprint of each of the towers is here, and the base is still there. It wasn't shattered. The foundation built on bedrock is still there. And the path train tunnels did not get damaged. Yes, there was some water in them, but with all those fire hoses, the water had to go somewhere. Once they pumped it out, it stayed dry. And one of my favorite pictures is Roadrunner. He survived. He survived anything. He survived a 500,000-ton building falling on him. Without a scratch. And he's now living at Hangar was it 17 at JFK. But he's from the Warner Brothers store, and they save these things. So how do you get a building that size falling down, and the first floor basement isn't damaged? Dust. Lots of dust. That's how it happens. This part of the building doesn't make a thud when it hits. Roof with dust on it. Dust everywhere. Now, if we look at the 95th story, this, up here, you can see this mechanical floor down here, and that elevation, and that is possibly where Tower 2 is, quote, hit, where it's got its hole. So this top pile driver that tried to make it seem looks like it just disintegrated before 478 began to move downwards. Again, here's 478. This piece here rotates over and then disappears. And then the rest continues down. Well, then there's things like this piece here. I call them meat checks. Those outer core and the outer column segments, groups, they were turned to dust midair. But the aluminum cladding that goes over them did not, which is a little bit peculiar. And again, a very large section of wheat chips falling through the air, and I don't even believe it hit the ground. We didn't hear of anybody, getting stuff landing on top of them. There are a few odds and ends that went across the street and whatnot, but not 110 stories worth of outer columns. Again, looking at Tower 2, the snowball, why isn't there any more debris lower than this? It looks like the demolition wave was ahead of pre-fall of gravity. This is a 40-story building. This used to be 110. Where did it go? It looks like not much of it landed on the ground either. It looks like it wasn't in the blender that stirred up. But there's a lot of dust everywhere, very fine powder. In the second portion of my talk, we're going to evaluate the dust very carefully. So this is a once-over of the general observations that we see at the scene. Look at this dust around their feet. Dust everywhere, very fine dust, and all the same size, approximately. If you threw a brick off of the roof of the building and it landed on the pavement below, you'd have big pieces, small pieces, some powder in between size pieces, a wide range. You wouldn't have all the same size powder.
What was that?
Very small. I have not evaluated myself, but I've seen photographs of it, and you can't discern the dust samples. I've seen reports, we'll talk about that in the second portion, because there's a lot of questions about the dust studies they presented to us. But this to me doesn't look like it collapsed. This looks like a drinking fountain made out of dust.
Can you speak up or something?
Let's see. Wait. No, it's coming up to me. Is it on? Wait, is this the one? Or is that just one? Okay. And then there's the famous fire we've heard about. That corner of the core columns that disappeared before our eyes. It just turned to dust. Here's stages of it. A little video clip of it. And you see a bunch of dust sitting on the various levels there. Individual photographs in sequence here show, for instance, freestanding bunch of core columns, and we know how tall building 7 is, right here. 47 stories. So maybe these inner core columns that are freestanding, about 60 stories, would you say? 60 stories, and they're standing all by themselves. They're pretty strong and pretty rigid. They can't be very flexible. They can't be like spaghetti, because how would it be standing by itself? So that tells us that these columns are very stiff and strong at that moment. Notice how they move and just turn to dust. If they're that stiff and rigid, how is it going to go straight down and just without rotating over even? Just turn to dust. And the dust rolls down the street. Lots of dust, like world records of any demolition we've ever seen. But it's interesting, it only rolls out so far, and then it goes up. As though it has a stopwatch. It only is allowed to roll out for a distance when it starts going upwards. We're just looking at the data. We're not trying to fit it to any idea, just looking at the data. And after the towers go away, what is this dust here coming up from the street? Dust going out across the water. Lots of dust. Notice the shadows. It blocks out the sunlight. Rolling down the street. Now, when the kingdom was taken down by conventional controlled demolition, the highest the dust went was about the height of the kingdom. And in the Seattle Times it said, and it filled the air downtown, was filled for almost 20 minutes before it all settled out. How long did this take to settle out? This is a satellite. With a satellite image, and this appears to be going into the upper atmosphere, traveling down the eastern seaboard. This doesn't look like a collapse to me. This looks like jet engines shooting upwards. Where did it go? And the building that's often forgotten. We have Tower 3 here, which was between 1 and 2. 22-story building. Early on, I'd see pictures on the web of building 6, and I'd see pictures of building 3, and I got them confused and thought they were the same building because they both had these vertical, cylindrical cutouts. So why would this be freestanding afterwards, just be left standing like that? And if this collapsed, where did the material go? Everything's ground level here. The fire trucks didn't get hit. All the windows blew out, but they didn't get damaged otherwise. And here's a picture a couple of days later, about the same shot. There's nothing left of that 22-story building. Ground level. A few of these weak checks from Tower 1's western wall, and that's about it of the entire building 1. Look how where people are standing. That's just one thickness of the beams. It's laid out perfectly on the street, as though they danced over and laid down so they'd be easy to load. This is what was there the day before. A lot of building that just disappeared. Here's where the towers were, and here's where building 3 was. And we hear about the toasted cars. They were over here. There was paper between the two locations. Nothing burned. And of course, those cutouts are building 6. And we have cutouts out of building 5. And what happened to the rest of building 4? That's where the tower stood. And this is an interesting map done by the USGS. it shows how Building 6 had that group of 24-foot diameter holes in it, just removing about 50% of the building's mass. I wonder why they'd want to do that. And notice out here on Liberty Street, these big holes in Liberty Street. Empty at the bottom. But what is the most bizarre is you're missing two 110-story buildings, and the rubble pile for them is almost non-existent compared to buildings 4, 5, and 6, the height of them. But this is building 4. It used to cover a lot more area. Only the north wing of building 4 is left standing. The rest is just missing. Again, this building 4 used to cover this much territory. And it's out that hole in the street. It goes down maybe 60 feet. What's it there for? If something fell in it, we should have whatever it was that fell in it, sitting in it, on top of the hole, or filling it up. And a closer view of Building 6. What could cause this? More importantly, where did you, this is the northern direction. This is building 1, where it stood, tower 1. That's the northern wall. It was 110 stories tall. Building 6 is 8 stories. This rubble pile is not 8 stories tall. It is even 1 story tall. So let's say it's 8 or 10 stories tall. Where are the other 100 stories? Where's the northern wall? This is building 7 rubble pile. These holes are empty. It's missing in action. Where did it fall? And there's the postal building over here, never got a scratch on it all day. This is the street between the two. This is Beakey Street. This is West Street. And we're going to look at that intersection. Right after the event, there's paper on the ground, but nothing else. These pieces of aluminum cladding up here, you could drive a four-wheeler over it, no problem. You probably drive a two-wheel regular sedan over it. You might worry about hurting the tires, but you could negotiate through. Something interesting, I don't know if it's, how well it shows up here, the various fire trucks all seem to have lost their windows. They were just looking at the data. We don't know what caused that, but it's interesting. Nothing seemed to have fallen on them. There's just paper on the ground, but they're missing the windows. There's some fellows working on something. They're getting ready to plug in the fire hose probably and put out this fire. But what caught that, those cars on fire? They're just paper leading up to the cars. And again, we're down here on West Street looking north towards Building 7. Looking at the shadows, it looks like it's just a little bit before noon on 9/11. There should be that tower between us. The pedestrian walkway you can see over here, it's like one story off the ground. Where did it all go? Another picture, this is from FEMA. The pictures I've collected, I've deliberately gotten them from a variety of sources as somewhat of a check. A lot of them are from FEMA, some from the Library of Congress, various other sites. Those are the two main ones. But look at the rubble pile, or whatever you want to call it. There's just not much in here. The old park ambulance is up on the 10th floor, so that tells you where ground level is. But another thing we'll notice is that here's the rubble pile from Building 7. And by comparison, where's Building 1? We see a lot of these fumes coming out of the ground. And I use a totally different vocabulary. Some folks could say it looks like smoke, but if we call that smoke, we're biasing our observations. we're trying to imagine it, something from fire. But let's just call it fumes. Fumes from who knows what. But fumes. There's a lot of fumes that is coming out of the rubble pile of Building 7 as well as Building 1. Maybe even 6. This is a picture a couple days later of Building 7 from the other side, from the back side. You got some wall there, but not a whole lot of anything else, but at least it looks a little taller. This is a picture from the east looking west through the complex. This is where Tower 1 stood. You look at ground level from east to west without any obstruction. Where's the rubble pile? That's what you used to be able to see through that same view. So all of that material went somewhere. Where did it go? Also, it should be noted that this plaza here doesn't have dirt on it. There's no dirt at the World Trade Center complex. Maybe people have a few potted plants in their office. You'll see in the second presentation an unbelievable amount of dirt. And this will look like it used to be a baseball field. That's what used to be there. That's what's in right afterwards. That is a lot of material. Now let's see if we can find Building 6. Building 6 is like right about that elevation. It towers over the rubble pile of Tower 1. We're missing material. Now this is an interesting sheet that's hanging out in the middle of West Street. It looks like a 20-story section of the western wall hopped over 100 feet, did this pirouette, rotated around, and laid down in those streets. It almost made it, but nicked this corner just a little bit. It's just one wall thickness, needs to be laid down there. But there's no other chunks like that anywhere. Again, we're looking up VC Street. Here's Tower 7, still remaining. So we know what day this is. Tower 1 is gone. There's nothing at street level. Where are those outer columns? Anybody find them? Maybe they're hiding under that, somebody's hat there. It is this intersection looking down the street. Holes. What about the holes? The wonderful cutout. This isn't one hole. This is a whole bunch of small diameter wonderful cutouts that coalesce. And looking at the wheat checks as a scale, looking at the diameter, it's about 24 feet diameter consistently. The diameter, like this hole, that hole. There's some different sizes, but this is the most common size.
There's a hole there, so the material's gone, the outer walls remain.
Of this building. So if you were standing at the street level, you wouldn't realize that over half of
it's gone.
Yeah, that 60% of the building's mass is gone. It looks like it's all still there.
But the mass is literally not dropped down to the bottom where it's pancaked down, but it's gone.
It's just gone. Building 6. Yeah, it's empty, which is bizarre. And this is inside that hole. And this is an 8-story building, so if you count down from the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you can tour right at the first floor. You can account for all 8 floors.
You're sheared.
Pardon me?
You're sheared
vertically. Correct, but there's no material left. It's like something just made him disappear in that zone. Let's look at Building 5 over in the far corner. It has, my goodness, 24-foot diameter holes. Here's a slightly larger hole, and folks would wonder what that corner is sticking out. Turns out it's a flipped piece. If you flipped it back, you'd find the cylindrical cutout below it. And there's another Eisenmenger there, like this hole here, which has a smaller hole within it. My favorite, ribbon 4. Ribbon 4's perimeter used to be here. This is where Tower 2 stood. And ribbon 4, the main body of it, butted up against Tower 2. But we only have that northern wing left. It was like it was surgically removed. It was cut off. There's a little stub of the main body there, but that's about it. If we look at looking from this direction, like looking up, that way we're looking west, this is what we'd see. Right afterwards is when this picture was taken. It was sliced off. And nothing left. Which isn't that top, but there's my favorite hole in the street here. But if you start noticing, you start seeing right below the surface piece of the trash, you have cylindrical cutouts all through ground zero. So this is my favorite, because the outer wall, that's the southern wall of Tower 2, it leans out into the street a little bit, and notice where it's missing material, right above where that circular cutout is in Little Liberty Street. And that hole is empty. Now I call this here hole 2. This is hole 1, hole 2, hole 3. Here they are climbing down into hole 2. All of this cylindrical cutout sort of coalesced into a large underground open area. This was taken on the 18th of September. There's wet puddles down there these guys are walking through. This is the basement of Tower 2. There's no metal in that basement.
What level is the basement?
Pardon me?
What level is the basement?
The bottom. Yes. You could count down the levels in there. And they're walking on horizontal territory there, not anything, you know, sloped and broken up. And that's the folks walking around the PATH train station, the loading platform. It's wet from all the fire hoses. They're not burning up down there, so it's not real hot. But you don't look for survivors by excavating, because you would damage the people if they were, you're trying to save some bodies. So why is this area open? They didn't excavate it. There's no material there. It just disappeared. Again, this is that zone. There's a few loose pieces up here on top of it. Once you remove those, you have the open area. Now we're going to look at hole 1. You see some wheat checks that took a dive into the hole. Now what is this piece of seam here? Why is it rusty like that? It looks kind of like Swiss cheese. Some other odd-looking things. So you can tap down to the sub-basement. Look at all, and it's empty. So what made that hole? They're going to rescue Roadrunner. They're down in the mall in the first sub-basement. The first level. Right above this roof, up here, is where the tower supposedly fell. But there's no building 4 above it. This is below the main body of building 4. The toasted cars. Now, my definition of toasted is, you know, it's toast. It's history. It doesn't necessarily mean it's burned. It's just, it's ill-defined. It's just a generic term for, you know, beyond hope. And there's where Tower 1 was. Tower 2. And there's the toasted car lot. They're parked over in here, with the burning, and this is all paper in between. How did these cars burn up? You can see all paper in between, and the cars just spontaneously combust. Mystery. There it is, this paper and powder. After they got the fires out, those cars stayed there for quite a while, but they instantly rusted. And there's day, bright orange rust. There's some cars on FDR Drive, and folks say, oh, they're towed there. Well, okay, you can say they're towed there. There's some interesting marks on the pavement that appear that they piled up on FDR Drive, or the road under FDR Drive, actually. But a comment I'd like to make about the towed question is there are 1,400 toasted cars. If someone's going to say that they were damaged next to the World Trade Center and then towed elsewhere, you got to find a place next to the World Trade Center where you can park 1,400 cars. So BC Street, how many cars can fit there? Correct. So, West Street, we saw pictures from West Street, and there's maybe one or two cars there, and Liberty Street, a couple cars there, Church Street. The only street I don't have a thorough sight of what was there is BC Street, under where that overhead walkway garden area was. But how many cars can you fit there? 5, 10, 15? Certainly not 1,400 cars. But not only that, even if this one was towed, what did that to it? It looks like the door wilted. And the most hilarious thing, whatever ate it likes door handles. It gets door handles first and engine block. And that, I don't know how well you can see this, but it's even got the steel belting left. It's not the rubber. The rear tire looks just fine. Nice new wax job in the back end, looks fine. So how hot could that car have been without affecting the entire car? The recent California fires, a friend sent me some pictures of some vehicles that were burned up. None of them were rusted. Now, if we have steel, how does it affect by fire? See something like drip, drip, drip? What ate that? Something attacked that postal truck. It looks like it was eaten on the side, like a monster from somewhere, little goon. This truck has another interesting phenomenon that I began to notice. It looks like the, more than just the paint peeled down, it looks like the outer layer peeled down of the door. And then we have fire trucks missing windows. Nothing else seems to be wrong with them. All the windows are blown. But paper wasn't burned? Why just some places was it burned here and not others? That's a weird pattern to have fire. What was that? Oh, the what's it car. I've since got another photograph of this vehicle, and it's a Con Edison vehicle. Just take my word for it. This vehicle is more than street. This one's quite interesting. Look over the tire and just through the wheel well. You see daylight. In other words, it doesn't have an engine block. And obviously it was driving down Mill Street. How did it get there? I don't know what this line is down that vehicle. But these are just bizarre things that you wouldn't expect around the collapse scene. This is Park, the street, which is quite a distance north up in the City Park area by where the Brooklyn Bridge is. Why is this car on fire? And the paper around it isn't. Andrea's confession.
Here's Karen
Delay. Oh, this is down there. Might happen to me. This is taking on the trees. The whole street full of cars. What happened to this guy's engine? Engine block. Whatever it is, it likes to eat engine block. And this one. It looks kind of wilted. That ladder kind of bent over. Folks, there was something landing on it. Well, where is the something that landed on it? This is on Beachy Street. We saw there was no beams laying on Beachy Street. So where'd the front end go? And this van. This is about a block north of Building 7. No door handles. That was a mail truck behind it. Just take my word for it. But it's already resting on the side of this. And here's more of, I call this the swamp. West Broadway, this is looking south. Down at the end is building 5 that you see. First thing I noticed is there's a red light down there. Why is there a traffic light that's working? Notice the fire hose in the street, and it looks like a swamp. The water was working. And just a day or two later, look at this street down here. The most interesting thing is this is where Building 7 was and disappeared. It didn't even show out across the street. And that's where it is. If they moved off the site and squashed it down, so you might not notice it. So they can clean it up further. How did that street get that way? Here's that street where that cloud was rolling down when Tower 1 went poof. That's the direction the cloud moved in, and after it left, we had toasted cars. So this doesn't look like anything low-tech to me. If you have something that cooks everything in that area would be cooked. You wouldn't have the paper not burned, and things would be burned. But what things do we know of? What? Chemicals is another thing. But we know there's high-tech things that do different things with different materials.
You mean DOE?
No, we're not going to make any assumptions just yet. We're going to let the data...
The signature for positive of a guy was born on a mountaintop in Tennessee. That's what the signatures look like. Right, stock and barrel. You've got the inner series, you've got the missing polarization, polarization, you know how far the stuff went. Okay, you've got the fires on one side, you've got the mobile cars looking on one side, the mobile stuff in the inside.
Mobile stuff?
Wait, I want to get your comments, but we want to get them recorded, so just
Did we see any molten things? Well, let's put the technology in. Folks say, well, there's nothing like that to exist. Let's just extrapolate. In 1945, someone came up with this gizmo, microwave oven. He's some sort of a beam. Not a kinetic energy weapon, but a beam weapon. Then, one of these, they're cheap now that you can use them for ornaments on your keychain. And you have all sorts of wavelengths to pick from, pick and choose, mix and match. Don't you think they come up with something more since 1955? There's a lot of different kinds of energy waves. What are cell phones? It can trigger things with beams. Now, someone's been talking about the energy. Well, we've all heard about the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. The wind didn't blow hard enough to destroy the bridge. The bridge destroyed itself. So on a fine level, if you can get...
harmonic.
Yeah, if you can get that, it's the natural frequency, except the natural frequency. If on a very fine level, you could get the molecule excited, maybe you could get the thing to self-destruct. I'm just putting out ideas. And note how this bridge came apart. It came apart one place first, and it unraveled and destroyed itself. It didn't come down into big chunks. I think that's an interesting phenomenon. So why is this moving? Looks like my slideshow wanted to quit. Yeah, this is a good time to switch.